knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard boys. Dean.
I love Dean.
He's Dean.
I love Wendy. And I love Bill. I love everyone.
That's so nice of you.
I'm full of love.
You're lovable.
I love you, man.
Yeah.
Love.
Dean, we just got word half an hour ago that Leon Redbone had passed away.
Right.
And we were trying to think if there were any other performers that you could put in the same category as him. Does anyone come to mind?
Nope, not a one.
Very tough, right?
Not a one. He was one in a million.
A listener has suggested Leon Russell. And that might be.
It's a circus game with you and me.
Maybe a little,
a little bit.
But a lot of Leon Russell's music was, jazzy and like kind of jazzy rock.
What about Quiet Riot? do you think that's similar?
How about the Ides of March?
Ides of March are similar.
Leon Redbone really kind of specialized in songs of the 20s and 30s. Very vaudevillian in style. Very Tin Pan Alley.
Oh, Bill wins. He mentioned Tin Pan Alley. That was the magic word.
Hey, yeah. What do I win?
A cigar.
Oh. And he kind of broke through in the 1970s when, it was, big glam rock and disco, and the music was becoming bigger and more orchestrated. Along comes this, little odd man with a guitar sitting in a chair and a funny mustache singing Shine on Harvest Moon.
Yeah.
It caught the attention. He was on Johnny Carson quite a bit. He became very, very popular. He had his own Budweiser commercial.
Right.
In the 1980s. And did a few voices in movies. He was one of the voices of one of the elves in Elf, the movie.
The snowman in Elf.
I think it was the snowman.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
With the glasses and the hat and the,
Yep.
But I was a big fan. I had a couple of albums back in the day. I used to, I used to enjoy listening to his music, thinking I had discovered something, that was so cool and avant-garde, when really he was really just playing the songs that my mom and dad grew up with when they were kids.
Dean, we did the math on this. He just passed away. He was 69 years old, which meant that when we were seeing him in those early performances, he was in his 30s.
About that.
He looked 69 then on SNL when I saw him.
Yeah.
In the official statement that announced his death today, they did not announce a cause of death. He did retire in 2015, and at that time cited health concerns. But in the official release, it said that he died holding his guitar with his hat on, waiting to meet Fats and, like some of the great names in the blues. And they cited his age at the time of death was 127 years old, which was very Leon Redbone.
Yeah.
To do something like that. They said that he'd passed away at age 127.
I mentioned, and I got scolded for mentioning it, but I did anyway, that the song Winchester Cathedral had that same throwback feel as Redbone. And a texter said, I just pulled up my new vaudeville band. Every song they performed has that Winchester Cathedral sound. I've never heard any of their other songs, but they did the same thing he did. They committed to that era, and they just didn't stray from it.
Can I just say how impressed I am that one of our listeners has a new vaudeville band album that they can pull out?
Yes. Wow. Well,
That's impressive.
Every time I mention that song, people go, why did you mention it? Now I won't be able to stop thinking about it. But this time we got
the cathedral.
Da, da, da,
we already played it. Please stop.
But
so many people have texted in saying, oh, I love that song. Play that more often.
It was very different when Jimi Hendrix was all along the watchtower. And along comes, oh, Vodio.
Right. Da, 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 da.
Someone has suggested the Remember This Song. Putting on the Ritz.
Taco?
You scare me.
No, I'm hungry. Do you want a taco?
Super duper. It's the same kind of thing. Disco meets 20s throwback meets the muted voice.
That's pretty disco-y.
Yeah, he was incorporating
too many.
Mr. Taco?
Yeah, I hope you're going to play Ethel Merman's Disco Lucy or whatever disco song she had.
Right, that would be great. Dean, you were just in England.
I was.
What was going on in England? What brought you there?
I was there for the UK premiere of the Elton John movie Rocket Man.
Oh,
it
nice.
Looks so good.
I'm going to tell you about it in a minute. There are two movies that are opening this week. One of them really is awful, and one of them is really great. And I'll leave you with that cliffhanger.
Don't say which yet. Don't say which.
No, I'm not going
to. I have a question.
I know my cliffhangers.
Last year... Oh, you're the king of the cliffhanger.
What?
Last year we saw Freddie Mercury's story with Bohemian Rhapsody. So now it's Elton John. And did you just see the story that came out today that they're looking to do the same with Boy George?
I did see that.
What do you think of that?
I'm not sure that I am that interested in that story. Mm.
Hmm. Do you really want to hurt me by saying that?
No, but I'll tumble for you.
I bet you will. Not intentionally, though.
But at some point, oh, no.
I got a bad back.
Oh, no.
These days, it's involuntary.
Well, what did he do for us? I mean,
Boy George?
You know, Elton John.
I think just maybe because of the era, he was coming up at the same time as MTV. So that
Yeah, he was the picture
right?
boy.
And I, oddly enough, on this red carpet that I was on for the Rocket Man movie,
yeah,
among the British stars that were there was Boy George, and I talked with him on the red carpet, you know, and he's obviously said that he was, you know, has always been a big Elton John fan,
yeah,
you know, and I said, really, if it wasn't for Elton John, would there be a Boy George? He sort of followed the same pattern of an outrageous look and, you know, a great flamboyancy.
Yeah.
And he said that's probably true, that guys like him and David Bowie and, you know, many others that defied a conventional look and sound made it easier for guys like him that came along in the 1980s to do and look and sound the way that they
right.
did. But is there enough there, really, you know, for a Boy George biopic? I mean, that's...
Be stretching it.
I think it's stretching it. I mean, yeah. Do they have three or four songs?
Oh, yeah.
Tops? Like what?
Do you really want to hurt me?
Yeah. Do you really want Tumble For You?
I'll Tumble For You. That's three. And then what do you do for the rest of the hour and 40 minutes? You keep playing them over and over.
Makeup and Wardrobe.
Time is the name of the song.
I'm going to give you
time. Yeah.
Right. All right. So there's four.
Hour and 35 minutes.
Right. Now we're coming in close. So you do a car chase scene or two. Right? That would be cool.
Well, he had a little situation. Didn't he have some kind of arrested park bench? What am I remembering? There was some scandal in his life.
Oh.
Unless I'm confusing him with someone else.
Oh.
Are you confusing him with George Michael?
Maybe.
Yeah, but I think Boy George had something too.
Tryst.
With Artie Johnson and Ruth Buzzi?
Pretty interesting.
I don't think that was him, Wendy.
Yeah, I'll tumble find for out. You. My Walnetto.
You're a dirty old man.
Yeah, but now as the audience, do you start to say, well, I can't, like once a year, I don't want to see the same story over and over, or are the stories different enough, do you think?
I think that we can't go too crazy with biopics.
Right.
Also, by the way, if they're going to do biopics, I would rather see a Prince biopic before
yes.
I would rather see a Boy George biopic. I can, you know, if I thought about it for a minute, I'm sure I could think of 10 other artists that
are probably more
deserving. But, I mean, it's at some point, it's going to oversaturate.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
People already this week, since I've been talking a little bit about the Elton John movie, all they want to know is how it compares to Bohemian Rhapsody. And they're two completely different movies. Interestingly, made in part by the same director, but these two movies are told in a completely different way, but they beg comparison that way. If we start flooding the market with biopics, people are just going to get sick and tired of it.
Although the Doors movie, was that Oliver Stone's?
Yeah.
I loved that movie.
It's really good.
And that was a while ago. I like taking a musician or a band to focus on,
yeah.
But it has to be an interesting one. And speaking of that, Boy George was sentenced to 15 months in jail for falsely imprisoning a male escort by handcuffing him to a wall and beating him with a metal chain.
Oh, no.
I remember this. I'm president of the Boy George fan club.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You are.
So, yeah, you got to put that in the movie. Maybe
whatever happened
couple
to the
times.
Rest of Culture Club, too? They get short shrift.
Right.
That's like being Andrew Ridgely in Wham.
Right. That's an even better movie. The
rest
of the Culture Club.
I'd rather see a Culture Club movie. What if Culture Club got together with Andrew Ridgely?
Oh yeah,
all the other, like all the forgotten people,
right?
And they
Garfunkel,
got together.
Garfunkel, yeah.
And it was just a movie of all the forgotten, people,
right?
All the B-list.
Dean, I will talk to Brian Dunkelman from American Idol, the host that got let go after the first season, and see if he wants to produce this movie.
Yeah, he might probably should be in it.
The Crickets, Buddy Holly's Crickets,
just the
could
crickets.
Be in it.
Yeah, oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, a bunch of guys working on a dock.
I want in. All right, Dean Richards is here. One of the movies coming out this week is great. The other is horrible. Find out which is which. That's coming up in just a minute or two. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Dean Richards. He's talking movies with us. Dean, as you said, one of the movies coming out tomorrow is great. The other is horrible. Which is which?
Well, let's start off with the great one.
All right.
Which is Rocket Man, the Elton John biopic that stars Kingsman standout Taron Egerton as Elton. He looks like him. He sounds just like him. He does his own singing in the movie, unlike Rami Malek in Bohemian Rhapsody, where there was some vocal assist involved. Taron developed a style that sounds exactly like Elton John. And has the mannerisms down. I mean, just really has the whole thing nailed. But that's only part of what makes this movie great. Unlike Bohemian Rhapsody, which was told in a straight chronology, you know, this happened when he was young, and then this happened later in his life, and then this happened even later in his life, and so forth. The Rocket Man movie kind of bounces around a little bit and uses Elton John songs not in a straight chronological order, but uses them where they are appropriate to enhance whatever moment in the story is being told, from Elton as a child prodigy to a young rock and roller, kind of almost like a Buddy Holly like kind of musician, slowly developing his flamboyant style, struggling with drugs, struggling with his own sexual identity, struggling with an extremely dysfunctional family, extremely dismissive father, a very absent mother. It tells the full story, but tells it as if you were watching a stage musical. It kind of bounces around that way, which I found very refreshing and very creative. The movie is fun. It's loaded with one song after another, which I think for most of us comprise the soundtrack of our lives.
Yep.
I mean, we all grew up with those Elton John songs and can relate particular moments in our personal lives with what was happening when we were hearing Elton John playing on the radio at the time. I love the movie. I love the way that Dexter Fletcher, the director who completed the Bohemian Rhapsody after the original director on that film was fired, he takes over this movie and does it in a completely different style, in a very refreshing, wonderful. It's different. People are asking, is it better than Bohemian Rhapsody or not? I don't know if I can really say that, but it's done differently, and the movie is extremely satisfying. So I gave it a Dean's List A. I really liked it.
Dean, Taron Egerton, not just playing Elton John, but as you mentioned, he's doing the actual singing. How did that play out? Because would he have still gotten the job if he didn't sound exactly like him too, or was that part of the process by which they chose him?
I think that must have been part of the process by which they chose him. You know, certainly wouldn't be the first time that an actor took a role in which singing was involved, and either they didn't sound like what they were supposed to sound like, or sounded horrible and were just completely overdubbed by somebody else. I think that Taron Egerton would have gotten it anyway, because he's got the physical attributes that are so important to this, and mannerisms. He obviously studied Elton John quite a bit to get all the physical characteristics down. But I think it helped a lot that he was able to sing, and he was. It's not only that he's able to sing, but he was able to match Elton John's vocal stylings and his characteristics, and it's very, very subtle, but he nails it 100% and just turns in a fantastic job on it.
And Rami Malek, in my opinion, he had Freddie's mannerisms down, and there were moments he looked like him, but he almost looked more like Mick Jagger sometimes. Hmm. So yeah. If they were going for like a dead-on thing, and he didn't even sing this stuff.
Right.
Yeah, and not that I was an Elton John expert in any way. I guess I knew the basics about Elton John, but I also learned quite a bit about his life, of growing up, how it is that he came to be. What's really poignant in the movie is his relationship with Bernie Taupin, the other half of the songwriting team that developed all of these, most of these, 99% of these great songs that we know from Elton John. The words were written by Bernie Taupin, and Elton John went and wrote the music surrounding them. Their relationship is a really beautiful one, a really nice friendship. So I wound up learning quite a bit out of this whole thing, and loved the music.
I can't wait to see it,
and sang along.
All right, that's on the positive side, Rocket Man. Now get to the negative side, and that's Godzilla, King of the Monsters, right?
Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
That looks so good. I'm sorry. It really does in the trailers.
Well, I'm sure there are going to be some people who love it. I went into this wanting to love it, but first and foremost, the story that they've written for this film is pretty ridiculous. Now, it's a Godzilla movie.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for, some kind of literary masterpiece here.
Right.
I get that it's a Godzilla movie, but it is, even for a Godzilla movie, the storyline is ridiculous. That is coupled with acting that makes William Shatner look downplayed.
Wow.
That's the kind of acting that we get in every single, practically every single character in this movie. It's so overplayed. And again, I get it's a Godzilla movie. I wasn't expecting anything Academy Award winning.
Yeah.
But, at some point I had to, stop dismissing things that were ridiculously stupid in this movie. And just, when I started to write things down, when I was writing the review, I was like kind of putting together all the little notes that I had made and things in my head that I noticed and wanted to talk about. It's like, there are a lot of things wrong with this movie. And those are just a couple of them. One of my pet peeves with big action movies like this is where it's fast cut, so fast and so jerky that it's very difficult to see what's going on. To me, that's a director's technique of, this is how I'm going to hide the deficiencies in this movie.
Sure.
By making things move so quickly and so fast that you can't see what the hell's going on in this movie. And I think that's part of what this is. And then I don't know if they had a fog machine they weren't comfortable with the amount of distraction they put in with the quick cutting, that there was it's foggy and murky and it's difficult to see and at times difficult to understand what's going on. It was just one thing after another that, the monsters are, when you can see them, they're kind of cool. I can't really say that there are any spectacular moments, between, with Godzilla himself, it's sort of a Japanese, monster Avengers team of some of the, some of the greatest, Mothra.
Your favorite prehistoric monsters.
Rodan. They all appear in this movie, and sometimes they are a force against the humans, and sometimes they are fighting and trying to destroy, each other. I left so disappointed from this movie. So I'm giving it a Dean's List D-.
D-.
Yeah,
for Godzilla, King of the Monsters. Dean says, go see Rocket Man. That's your movie of the week.
That's the one.
Dean, thanks so much. Have a great
weekend.
Have a great
weekend, you guys.
Thank you.
Richards.
Bye.